Welcome to the Hog Radio Show, a weekly show covering the world of motorcycling and rider lifestyle, featuring Walt the Rev Fletcher and Steve the producer Johan. Now here they are with the good news on riding, your hosts.
Welcome everyone to another hour of the best in ridertainment. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always talk about things seen out on the road, and one of the things I'm seeing is an awful lot of people overheating.
Is
not
that
the
right?
Bike, the person. And so, particularly if you're in a very high humidity area, I mean, if you're in Arizona, you're probably used to the heat and, you know, and it's low humidity. But if you're in Washington, we're having a lot of people that are getting overheated.
Huh.
And so you need to stay hydrated. You need to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you'll be sitting on the side of the road trying to rehydrate yourself, trying to cool down in like a bus shelter or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're riding down the road and you get overheated, you can like get squirrely, and the next thing you know, you put it on the ground.
You know, it's the same. It's the same thing as hypothermia, but it's called heat prostration. And I think I got that right.
It's hyperthermia.
Hyperthermia versus hypothermia.
Right.
And so what happens is my mom used to, when we were traveling as a kid, we'd go on our road trips and it would be hot. She'd give us salt tablets of all things. That was back in the day when they, you know, you took, you know, and, but you drink water, keep salt in your body, because when you're sweating, it tends to pull everything out.
Right.
So if you don't use a lot of salt, maybe during the hot times, use a little more of it just because it retains. But you're right. It does the same thing. It'll give you headaches. It'll cause you to get nauseous.
Yep.
You can get sick and throw up. I mean, it'll do you a number. You can pass out.
I actually grew up in Florida in the late 60s, and that's when they invented Gatorade at the University of Florida.
That's right.
Because of that very thing. They were...
Their training camps.
Yeah, they were getting out, and they were working real hard, and they were getting... their hydration was gone, their electrolytes were gone, all that old stuff, whatever all goes into it. And so they invented this stuff.
That's right.
And apparently the first one that they invented was just the nastiest thing you ever saw on the face of the planet. And then they like managed to make it palatable. I got to tell you, when Gatorade first came out, you would drink it because you had to. You didn't drink it because you liked it. Now, nowadays,
right,
it's pretty good. But when it first came out, you just knew this stuff was good for you, and so you choke it down, and it would, you know. But, you know, apparently it was worse than that when it first came out.
Well, now, that was in the 60s, right, when it came out?
And late 60s.
Yes, and I remember in late 60s, Fresca came out.
Yeah.
And Fresca was the first diet sour product that Coca-Cola put out, and it was horrid.
Oh, it was terrible.
Just telling you, almost, yeah. My mom or my neighbor's mom had a bottle, and so I popped it open thinking, oh, it's going to taste like squirt. Oh, no. I almost, I spewed it out, and I said, I'll never drink this stuff. And then come to find out, they were putting things that aren't very good for you. And do you remember what the name of it was? I wrote an article about this. It was
Cyclamates. Right.
And something you might find in soap or something. But the bottom line, it was nasty for your body.
Right. That's Cyclamates is actually saccharin, which they still sell Peak Death.
Yes.
But the thing about it was that, like I say, I lost it somewhere along the way. I used to have an empty can of Tab.
Oh, and that had it too.
Because they were going after them, and they were swearing it wouldn't. And what happened was, they would give these little rats,
oh sure,
like three or four times the daily dosage of a human.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's amazing that it didn't kill them just drinking that much soda. But, you know, at any rate,
they've changed all that now. I think Fresca still tastes pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But
Coke actually put their little warning label that they put on there said,
right,
warning, drinking Tab may be detrimental to your laboratory animals.
Okay.
And the U.S. government did not like that a lot. So that didn't stay for long. So I got it. I just saved one. I didn't even drink that nasty stuff.
That's nasty.
But I bought one, poured it out, and saved it just because I thought it was hilarious. But
Well, the other thing is we were talking on off air before the show is, folks, if you have mechanic or electronic technology that tells you whether you're running low on your fuel, sometimes it's not always a good job to
yes.
trust it. You need to sometimes just open up the tank and verify for yourself that it is what it is. Because I've had my car say, gee, you've got a quarter tank. And the next thing I know, I'm down to, hey, go fill it up. And then the opposite, hey, you go fill it up. And then I go on level ground or whatever, a couple miles. Oh, you've got a quarter tank. And you were telling me the same thing happened to you when you were riding the other day.
It was the other way around. It was telling me I had nothing in it. And then all the way home, it was going up.
That's right.
It was reevaluating. But no, the funniest thing about, well, it wasn't funny at the time, but the funniest thing I ever saw with something like that was on submarine. They have a depth meter. And we were going down and we were doing testing of the submarine I was on. And I, of course, cannot tell you what the depth limit was. But we're going down and we're thinking we must be getting to this. And we look and no, we were still above it. And then all of a sudden you hear this click and that little needle just went zing. And it was like, okay, you are now about 200 feet below test depth.
Right.
So we went real slow bringing that bad boy back
up. That's
right. You know, because we were, you know, you have test depth as far as you're actually allowed to
mm-hmm.
go. You have crush depth. It's like if you ever get there, you're going to know it because it's going to go whoop and you're going to be dead in about 30 seconds.
And unlike the Enterprise, which I've been really getting into, I didn't watch the original Star Trek Enterprise. It came out and I just thought, oh, no, they got the cute little gal. She looks just like Seven of Nine off of Voyager.
Yep.
I don't want to play this stuff. And so I quit. Well, I didn't watch it when it was out. Now I've watched all the other ones. And so recently I picked up, started watching. I actually enjoy it. But they have, oh, they're losing portions of their hull, but they got shields they can put in
yes.
place to hold it. Well, you don't have shields.
You don't have shields on a submarine. No, you've got 18 inches of HY-80 steel, and if that warps, and once again, you want to scare somebody half to death. We'd get civilians on board, and we would go back in the engine room where there's no levels. It's
right.
just a big thing. And we would put a string, and we'd make it tight across the engine room.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you'd start going down, you'd see that thing sinking.
Yeah, that's
you'd
right.
You'd know that it was now compressing.
That's right.
And when the string hits the deck, it would scare these people to death. But, you know, we used to
torment
people.
But it didn't do that to you.
What?
Because you're inside you're in a compression chamber where you're not being affected by that, right?
No, because what happens is you can release air. Or
to counteract.
Actually, you suck the air into the air banks.
Right.
So that you can put it back as you go up. But the idea is we maintain pressure, but the actual size of the ship starts to go down. And it's humorous because, and I, you know, once again, the reason it didn't bother me was because I'd been up and down so many times. It's like, oh, okay, I know this will work. But the first time I went down, you start hearing click, bang, and all this, and the hull's doing this, and your butt will slam shut. But we used to take people out on these cruises just to show them what it was like,
right.
And we'd take it down there, and they'd start doing that. And then we'd crack up watching them in action, you know, because they're going nuts. You know?
Well, speaking of nuts, KTM North America is recalling model 2016 and 2017 of their 690 Dukes due to possible fuel leak from the fuel filter cap area, which increased the risk of fire or rider injury. So the affected motorcycles may leak fuel from the filter cap of the fuel tank. That's a repeat. So bottom line, it's 712 bikes. And so if you own a 2016 or 2017 690 Duke, take it to your dealership and have it checked out.
Yep.
And those who like four-wheel vehicles, the Cub Cadet is recalling about 4,026. You better take over, Walt. I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, okay. I'll just see. Cub Cadet recalling about 4,216 model Challenger CX500 and CX700 four-wheel drive utility vehicles. A July 7 report from U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says that error in the brake system can cause brake failure, posing a crash error. Once again, if you have one of these, Take it in. They'll fix it for you. It'll be fine. Another thing we just discovered was it turns out that when the AIM Expo occurs in September, Vice President Pence has agreed to come.
Oh, he has agreed. Everything has been a build-up to that. He has agreed.
He came out, this I think it came out Monday, they said, and he is going to be there. Another thing I found that's very interesting, there's a thing that's called Cosmo Connected. And what you do is you have like a full-size helmet, and you put this thing on the back of it. It locks on the back of it. And what it does is it senses deceleration. So if it sees that you're slowing down, it comes on. So that even if you're not braking or anything, if you're slowing down, the guy behind you sees that red thing on the back of your helmet.
Oh, so in other words, it's like brake lights built into a helmet.
Right.
Now, is this something you add to the helmet?
What?
Go ahead.
And if you go down, if that helmet hits the ground, it will text 911 and whoever you tell it to.
Oh, wow.
Once again, it has to be Bluetooth to your cell phone to do it. But if you have it all hooked up and working like that, if that helmet hits the ground, immediately.
Now, is it a helmet itself that they're selling?
No, it's just a little,
okay, addition
that goes on there, but it can sense these things. So there's our music. We'll be back in just a moment with a really cool guest.
I'm going to praise you, Jesus. Till these blues of mine fade on away.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Travel Tip of the Month. This month's topic is where to go. If you live in a cold climate, you are probably suffering from PMS. That's Park Motorcycle Syndrome. If that's the case, a week-long trip to a sunny place might be in order. When you are planning a week-long vacation, why not set aside a day to enjoy the sun on two wheels? Most towns or cities offer places to rent a bike for the day. Some even offer you the ability to rent clothing. But it's a good idea to check ahead, and if they don't, consider what you need and pack it in your suitcase. Always check with your insurance company to see if you are covered for a rental bike and get that part of the equation sewn up before you leave. Don't forget the water bottle. If you will be spending the day in the hot sun, you will need it. One other thing to keep in mind. It's a proven fact that the chances of having an accident go up when you're first getting on an unfamiliar bike. When you get on that bike, take it easy for the first half hour while you adjust to the new ride.
Be fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I don't need no Cadillac to make me feel on top. I don't need a diamond ring or expensive place to shop. Keep life in a simple state with the rubber on the ground.
Welcome back to the second segment of our show. This week's guest is Roselle Nunn, founder of the National Bikers Roundup. For more information on NBR, visit them at www.nationalbikersroundup.org. So, I got on that website, and you have a Fallen Riders page, and one of those Fallen Riders is a Timothy Nunn. Is that somebody related to you?
That was my youngest son.
Oh, my. Well, we're real sorry to hear that.
Yes, we are.
But, you know, when I see that, I figured, yeah, we ought to recognize that. I know some people who've gone on. I know some people who wished they went out on a motorcycle,
right,
but didn't, you know. But
so how? When was that?
He didn't go out on a motorcycle. He got shot, drive-by.
Oh my!
Oh my goodness!
That's worse.
Was he on a bike or was he just mining?
He's the president of Outcast in Georgia. He's at his own clubhouse last year in February at the anniversary party, and they had a drive-by.
Oh my!
And he got shot in the head.
Is that something that's common within that area?
No.
So this was like a fluke thing then.
Yes.
Wow. Where was this?
Still took a toll.
Yeah. Now, where was this located? Where was he? Where did he live?
He lived in Ellenwood, Georgia, but it happened in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, so he was visiting their clubhouse, minding their own business, and there was just somebody came by and did a drive-by shooting.
Yeah, it was his clubhouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
At an anniversary party, yes.
Oh my gosh! Did they figure out who it was? Did they get the perp?
No.
Oh my!
Not yet.
Oh my! My friend is. I got a very, very good friend. He runs Washington's Most Wanted,
yep.
And they work with Crime Stoppers and stuff. So it's the kind of thing where they've got things where people can. They don't have to say anything. They can just use a special code number, and they call in. And if the perp gets caught, and it turns out they're the person, they can get rewards for that. So you guys probably have the same thing down there.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Roselle. I mean, we've have a number of our friends here over the years who've been on the show who have lost their sons to anywhere from suicide to down because of their bike, and there's nothing worse than having your child precede you in death.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm sorry to hear that. We just want to honor you on that.
So we always start out with a few easy questions. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas, in an area called Quindaro.
Okay. And where do you live now?
Riverdale, Georgia.
Ah. Okay.
Now, have you been to Georgia, Walt?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, up in the very north end, there's a place called Blue Ridge, Georgia, which was, I had a great uncle.
Okay.
Once again, this was my grandmother's very much junior sister,
mm-hmm.
and her husband, And so they were more like an aunt and uncle,
right,
than a great aunt or a great uncle or anything. But I've spent time there. I've spent time in Atlanta doing various things and
right.
so on. And
I have never been to the Deep South, what I call the Deep South in Midwest. Uh-huh. I've gone to Iowa, is the furthest I've been, Wisconsin, Iowa, and then down to Nebraska and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But I've never, and then I've been into Texas and Oklahoma, but I've never been further, and I've always wanted to spend time in your area. And so one of these days, probably after my youngest has grown and out of the house, my wife
come
and
on
I
down.
That's right. I was thinking, you know, I'd love to make enough money on this show where we could actually come down as the show and hang out at one of your roundups. I mean, I think that would be
okay.
Phenomenal. But so where you're at, is it pretty humid at this point in time right now?
Yes, it is. Real humid.
Yep.
Yes. I think it was 91 today, and it, I guess about 10 o'clock this morning, it was about 80-something degrees, but it's so humid.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember meeting somebody in Mexico. We were down there building a house through a nonprofit organization. There was a guy who had started working with them, and I said, where are you from? Georgia. And I go, oh, why are you here? It's like 100 degrees. He goes, yeah, but they don't have the humidity that yeah. I'm used to. This is great.
Yep. Yep.
So when did you start when did you start riding motorcycles, and what inspired you to get involved with motorcycling?
Well, I'm the third of five generations of riding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I've been riding since 1968.
So
my great uncle, he rode, which he's deceased, but my uncle, which is my mother's brother, he still rides. I ride. I have a son that's still living to ride, and grandsons that ride.
Whoa.
So if we're talking fifth generation, we're talking way back in probably, what, the 40s or even before
yes.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
What
yep.
did, was it your, let's see, would that would have been your...
Grandfather.
Your grandfather?
Yep.
My grandmother's uncle.
Your grandmother's okay.
uncle.
Uncle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What yeah. was he riding back in those days?
He rode a Harley.
Yep.
So is that passed along through every generation? Everybody rides Harleys?
Well, I ride a Harley now. I started out on the 650 BSA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Matter of fact, the other day I was watching some 70s movie out of California, and the guy was running around on it was either a BSA or a Norton 650,
yep.
and
yep.
that was very common back in the 60s, is the Triumphs, the Nortons, and the BSAs. That was a very common
right.
bike to start in.
Yep. When I first got to Maine in the Air Force, we had an entire flight of canine handlers.
Right.
That were yeah. all motorcyclists, but they rode Triumphs.
Yep.
They all had these Triumph Bonnevilles and so on. And that was that I almost got a motorcycle and got myself beat up by my wife because
yep.
she didn't like it. Like I say, it's gone all the way till 2005 before I just did it. And
that's
then
right.
I got myself beat up by my wife, but now she loves it. So.
That's right.
But at any rate.
Yeah, I used to build bikes back in the 70s. Choppers.
Yep.
Build them from scratch.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So were you? Did you have your own shop then? And
no, somebody told me I couldn't do it, and I had to prove them that I could do it.
Yep. Yep.
So I built a 550 and a 750 Honda chopper, and I was the first one around that had the spare gas tank as a beer keg, all chrome, with the spare gas tank was up on the sissy bar in the back, all welded on there, and all chrome. So if you run out of gas, the chopper just turn another switch on and keep riding.
Yep. Oh my goodness! So do you have pictures of that yet?
I got a picture of it. Yes.
Oh my goodness! I'd love to see that. That is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you've we'll get into this a little later, but you've been doing this for 40 years, the National Bikers
yeah.
Roundup, and so I mean, we always think, you know, we see the movies Easy Rider and the and we've had a lot of, and we've had the only guy I haven't had on the show that I want to get on the show is Sugar Bear, which is out on our West Coast, and he was building mm-hmm. bikes, and
yeah.
I just can't get him on, but. I've discovered there's people all over the United States have been building stuff in the 60s and like yourself that just started doing
right.
it. And When you did your first chopper, did you have a lot of problems with flop and wheel hop, or did you pull somebody's good springer in on those?
What I did, I had the went got the frame. They had a shop in Kansas City. It was Hatfields. That's the name of it.
Uh-huh.
And he sold custom motorcycle parts, so I bought my front end and my frame for him. And then I had back then. This was in '76. I paid $1,500 for a paint job then.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, hang on. That is an amazing thing. We got there's our music. We're gonna break here.
Yep, we'll be back in just a moment with more of our show and more of Roselle.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Business owner. How would you like to elevate your brand name, maximize your advertising efforts, and increase your market share amongst motorcycle enthusiasts? Well, you can, and we'll show you how. Just go to www.thehogradioshow.com. Click the Contact Us button and follow the instructions. We'll send you our free Hog Radio Marketing Report along with further instructions. It's that simple.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
Dr. Damon. Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the third segment of our show. This week's guest is Roselle Nunn, founder of the National Bikers Roundup. For more information on NBR, visit them at www.nationalbikersroundup.org.
And we were just talking about he put $1,500 into a paint job in 1976 onto his custom bike. And talk to us a little bit about that. What caused you to do that, and were you the talk of the town after that got done?
Oh, yes, yes, because I had it painted blue and silver, and we used to do bike shows when Ray Forney used to have the bike shows back in the 70s.
Yep.
And in different places, yes.
Wow. And then you said that your sons, and now your remaining son, your son still builds bikes himself?
Yeah, he still works on bikes. He doesn't do he paints. The oldest one. Yeah, he works on everybody. But he got his own job. He'll work on a motorcycle. He can paint, too, real good.
Oh, man. That's now, good. Where's he located at?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, Kansas City, Missouri.
Now, that is where the National Biker Roundup actually started, right?
No, it started in Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, see, I get confused about all that stuff.
Well, how far is Kansas City, Missouri from Kansas City, Kansas?
Right across the bridge.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. It's kind of like saying Bellingham.
But that's where it's going to be again this year, right?
Green Valley, Missouri. It's about 24 miles east of Kansas City.
Okay.
Green Valley, Missouri.
So let's talk about this National Bikers Roundup. What was the idea behind starting this event?
When we first started, what we did, we had a organization in Kansas City called Metro Jam that we gave once a year, and the different bikers like from St. Louis, Wichita, and Omaha and Council Bluffs would come. So me, Michael Gordon, and some clubs out of Omaha, Nebraska, and East St. Louis and Centerville, Illinois, we sit down and had a meeting. And what we did, they had a party in Kansas City, Kansas. And whatever you drank, that's what you brought to the table.
Uh-huh.
And I drank best strawberry soda. I was laughing this morning because I don't drink. Yeah. And then after that, we had a meeting, and Michael Gordon came up with the idea of calling the Rattler because he's an old cowboy. And said since we were bikers, then because we had the first, like I said, party, that was in January of 1977. And the first camp out we had was in 1977. It was in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
That's where they voted to go then. And we wanted, first we started out to keep it a 200-mile radius right there in the Midwest because we had to go to work on Mondays and somewhere you could go Friday and Saturday and get back home Sunday.
Right.
But in 1981, we had people come in far away as Denver. And then from Denver, we had people come in from Texas, and we started going out further. Instead of just the weekend, we made it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now it's Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, because people come from all over and make it a vacation, and you can bring your family, you can bring your grandchildren, your mama, your daddy, uncles, aunts, they all. Yep. They all are.
And that's what really kind of, there's two things that set your rally apart. Is one is it's very family-oriented. You bring your family, everybody. It's not like a Sturgis kind of thing, though there are places in Sturgis you can go with your family, but it's not, quote, Sturgis where you let the hair down and go wild. It's a very family-friendly. And the other is this predominantly African-American riders. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
And that is a very unique thing, and it's been going for 40 years, and it's still going very, very strong.
Yep.
The only thing that's changed is we have a lot of women riders, which I like to see.
Yep.
A lot of them.
And do they ride, a lot more of them ride sport bikes, do you see, or is it a mix?
A lot of them ride Harleys.
Oh.
Lots of them.
Yep.
Some of them ride sport bikes, but a lot of them ride Harleys.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting. I saw, we had, was it last year, the year before, Kurt Kurt, he's up north. He has his own bike shop, and he comes to this thing, and
Kurt out of Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, yes.
Mystic Knights.
Yes, and, yep. and he puts on a bike show up there, and he also puts on a motocross type thing, old school motocross, and I was he sent me a video out, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at all those gals on those big old Harleys. They're full dressers, and I'm like, and they're blinged out. I mean, these gals must put in 40K, 50K.
And when we had him on, I did not qualify to be in the Mystic Knights, but I do now.
Oh.
Because you had to have a bagger.
Oh, you had to have a bagger.
Yes.
So we've seen that. You're right. That is really cool. And do you find that most people are just average, everyday people that have decided that they want to spend their money on motorcycles rather than, like, say, other kind of things?
Yes. Yeah, as you can, I'm really impressed of how many people have bought motorcycles in the last 10 years.
Yep.
I put my great-grandson on my Ultra Classic the other day, and he didn't want to get off. He'll be a year old next month, but he didn't want to get off of it.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I actually found out here in Washington, they require that you can't give a kid a ride until they're 5 years old. I know this because there's this little girl going through cancer treatment, and I told her if she made it out of that hospital, I'd come get her and take her home on my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and said, no, you can't do that. She has to be at least 5. So I told her, okay, on your 5th birthday, I will be at your birthday party, and I will take you from that birthday party all around the Cascade Loop if you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to do is make it through this. And I got a big hug out of that. But, you know, little kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm always pulling up to a stop sign. You give it a rev or something, and little boys jumping up and down. Do it again. You know, so little kids love motorcycles. But so
one of our main goals is we have a food drive, and we collect money and food, and wherever we host a roundup, we leave it all there to that community, to one of the food banks.
That is, I was going to ask you. You're in a demographic and in a location where a lot of people have lost their jobs. I mean, the heartland is the Midwest. We had, what was the guy? He owns a number of I'll think about it. Anyways, anyhow, back in your area and where you do these roundups, a lot of people have actually lost their livelihoods. How have you, as a riding community in your own communities and through the National Biker Roundup, helped come along and bring support? Because when you come into a community, you may be camping someplace, but you're bringing money into that location too. Some people are staying at motels, hotels, you're buying food and that. How have you been able to help those communities that you're in?
Well, see, before we even consider going into any city, it's a due process. It takes you about 2 years. We go into the city. We talk to the Chamber of Commerce, City Council, and policemen to see if they're going to accept us there before we go there.
Yep.
And then we let them know what they expect, you know, with the hotels, the grocery stores, the gas station, the car washes, and all that, and let them know ahead of time, and let them know that when we're coming in for hotels, we need at least 7,500 room nights for them 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with us real well because they know there's a lot of money in that area that we bring in that area.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one.
And having a family-friendly event, I bet when you leave, they're going, yeah, come on back.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Because
I hear that every year.
Yep.
Yep, that's one thing that we've discovered through the good motorcycling rallies, whether it's a local ones or national like what you do, is when you get over the stigma, by and large, people leave the place better or the same as they left it when they came, and they just dropped off quite a bit of money. And it's a very, very, it's a nice shot in the arm for any community that's willing to open their arms to individuals who want to come in and spend the weekend or 5 days, like in your case. And that's why it's like, folks, if you know, if you live to a small little town, maybe start a rally in that little town in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And the next thing you know, in 5 years, you'll have a couple thousand bikers showing up and having a great time and leaving some money. So
one thing good about National Bikers Roundup is when we have something every year, when we have the roundup, it has to be 100 usable acres or more. And for the 4 or 5 days, if you're a biker with colors on, it costs you $20. If you're not a biker, it costs you $30. That includes the concert Friday and Saturday night.
Hank,
in and out of the gate, anytime you want. Long as you got your own.
We'll be right back for more of our show.
Hang on there.
On the
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Business owner. How would you like to elevate your brand name, maximize your advertising efforts, and increase your market share amongst motorcycle enthusiasts? Well, you can, and we'll show you how. Just go to www.thehogradioshow.com. Click the Contact Us button and follow the instructions. We'll send you our free Hog Radio Marketing Report along with further instructions. It's that simple.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In the mirror, the past is fading out. Come tomorrow straight ahead. But it's much too late for talking now. Think I'm gonna ride.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. Our guest this week is Roselle Nunn, founder of the National Bikers Roundup. For more information on NBR, visit them at www.nationalbikersroundup.org. So, Roselle, since you've been riding and going around the biker community for such a long period of time, have you seen like a major change in the attitudes between the different races of bikers?
Yes. Well, I've seen they don't have as bad an attitude and prejudice as they used to have years ago.
Yep.
Back in the 70s. Yep. I went through it, but you don't go to it. I've seen it in the last, actually, 15 years.
Yeah, yep. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, I had a video that I got at one point that was just about the history of black motorcycle clubs. And it was basically saying black motorcycle clubs were formed specifically because most motorcycle clubs wouldn't let them in. So they'd just go, okay, I'll just start one of my own. So, you know, but that's, you know, it's interesting that from what I've been able to see, you may have white clubs that won't let black people or anybody else in. Literally, from what at least the story that's given is that the Mongols were created because the Hells Angels wouldn't let Latinos in.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I've noted that the black clubs, very few of them, are literally strictly black and say, no, you're white, you can't be here.
We don't do that. Yeah. We don't care who you are. As long as you fit in and abide by the rules, you're in.
Yep.
After you go through everything, yeah.
Yep.
Well, and that's the interesting thing is how many – you've got – a couple hundred clubs that representative, don't you, at this thing?
At the roundup?
Yeah.
We have at least 1,000 clubs.
1,000? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's amazing. That is just, and we have to be honest, we're out here in the Pacific Northwest, so we just don't see a lot of right. African-American clubs. I think we got one in Seattle, and that's it. And so... But you're in a different location. It's a different world where you are. Right.
It's a whole different world. Yep.
It is. Well, we won't go down there. I had something that came to my mind. I was watching something, and I was like, no, that's not relevant to what we're doing. But so in the last 15 years and what you're doing now, how has just the overall industry and dealerships and general riding population – do you just see it, a lot of people just meshing together? Because now, forget about the race. It's all about, hey, we're riding, and we're just a lone breed anyway, so let's stick together.
Yep.
Yes, because we had, I won't name the dealership, but they used to, didn't even like selling to blacks, and if you didn't live in that city or that state, they used to wouldn't sell you a motorcycle. You had to go to your own community to buy one.
You know,
that seemed pretty silly. I mean, money's money.
Well, and I found out because of that, like people like Kurt and others started their own shops. And so you find a lot of independent guys that are African American that run their own shops, don't you?
Right.
But if you want a brand new bike, that you still, that doesn't work.
You got to go to the dealer, yeah.
Yep. That's right. So what are some of the most positive aspects of, you've been doing this for 40 years. How is the roundup itself? You said that you went from 2 days to 4 days to 5 days, but how have you guys managed the growth in the logistics? We talked to the Woody that puts on Buffalo Chip, and that's like a year long, that's a year worth of time. And So how much time do you devote to this in your board to your roundup?
I'm devoted to it 7 days a week for 24 hours a day. Some of them got jobs, but I'm retired. I'm an old man now. But it works out fine because, like I said, in order to host a roundup, whatever city's going to try to host it, it takes them 2 years going through the process of sending us paperwork. We come to verify everything they do. Then they go back to their community, and we give them a certain amount of time to start a campaigning. But it's yeah. it's like a 30 or 40 page process they have to go to.
Yep.
And
they can't just run up there and put your hand up and say you want to host it. Can't do that no more. We changed all that. You got to send a letter in. We got to visit your city, give you the do's and don'ts. And in order for you to do it, say, for instance, you in, say, Tacoma, Washington, you can only go out and invite the clubs within 150 miles radius of Tacoma to host it. Or if you got another city that's 150 miles from there, they can run against you. But we don't let the whole state do it no more because you got so many big cities in these little states and the big states now. They want to host it, and it gets out of hand when you do that. So we'll pick a safe. We pick Atlanta, Georgia. Any club within 150-mile radius that wants to participate, they can do that.
Oh, I see. That cuts down on all the infighting that might go on. It cuts down all the politics, and it streamlines things.
Well, I mean, anybody can come, but it's hosted by those clubs, right?
Yeah. Everybody can come, but if certain clubs are going to host it, and those certain clubs have to be non-for-profit chartered. They have to charter the organization non-for-profit. And believe me, I'm tough on paperwork.
Yep.
They got to have everything. They got, like I said, got to have the ducks in order.
Yep. And then you still have to go down and meet with the city elders and do all that stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we go down there. Some cities we don't do it because it's been there before and they be trying to get you back there. But a lot of times we always go sit in with the state troopers, the local police, and sheriff's department. We have Freddie Hammond, which is my co-chairman. He's head of security and he's real, real strict. We have zero tolerance, first of all, and everybody knows that.
Well, and that's the one thing I remember. We had I think that's who we had on last time, which was a couple years ago, and I meant to call you last year, but you have stringent rules, and you say, you know, all clubs are invited, but you just leave everything outside this area. I mean, you got any problems, you just take care of that somewhere else.
We had a meeting a few years ago, and everybody agreed that National Bike and Roundup is neutral ground for everybody. I don't care what kind of problems you got. You squash it before you get there, or you don't squash it while you're there.
Yep. That's awesome.
And it works out fine. I have the utmost respect for everybody.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've noted. We've made a great deal of this. The last couple of years ago, they had this thing in Waco, and we've made a great deal here on Hog Radio that we're just not buying into the story they're trying to put out, because that was a Confederation of Clubs meeting, and bikers would not have done what they said they did.
Nope.
That's one of those unwritten rules, or it may actually be written, I don't know, but they wouldn't do it. They would have just dishonored their colors.
You don't mess around in neutral territory. If everybody's agreed ahead of time, that is just a code of ethic that everybody sticks to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what have been some of the most, we haven't talked about we're going to run out of time here, but you bring in different musical acts every year.
Yeah.
And you bring in, I mean, how do you cover the gamut from, let's say, old school to current school? I mean, you got the hip hop, you got the rap. Do you bring in people like, I mean, if you could, would you bring in like George Clinton or something from way back in the 70s?
Yeah, so we've had Jeffrey Osborne in the past. We had Kiki Wyatt, the SOS Band, the Manhattans, Big Daddy Kane. But see, anything that we do, I don't care what it is, it has to be insured.
Oh, yes.
We don't do nothing less than it's insured. And a lot of times, not knocking the rap groups,
these
insurance companies won't insure them at our event, so we can't have
them. Okay, hang on.
We'll be back in just a moment to close this all up.
And there's Little Moody Scott.
There, you know it's not right, 'cause it's not supposed to be that way. Hey, hey, all right.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
We could build a fire. We rub two legs together. We could drop all our problems to our knees.
Welcome back to the final segment of our show. We just really wanted to thank Roselle Nunn, founder of the National Bikers Roundup, for being on with us. And if you want to get information about that, it's www.nationalbikersroundup.org. So thanks for being on, Roselle.
Thank you all for having me.
Yep. Well, I'm honored to have you on. 40 years of putting on an event. I mean, that is an amazing feat. I just want to tell you that.
When are you going to be having it more out in the western side? We might try
They don't. It's always within, what, five states down there?
No. It's, you know, wherever they vote for it. Whoever's bidding for it next year, which I can't tell you yet. And they'll vote that Sunday, and we'll know where they're going. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had one. I think it said it was in California one time. So.
Oh, we've been to California. We've been to Florida. We've been to Pennsylvania. We've been to Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try to get Reno. I'd love to go there. Anyway, thanks for being on with us. We'll have to get
you
again and find out how it went.
Yes.
Okay.
We will do it. We'll touch base at the end of summer, and we'll find out how things went.
I appreciate you.
You bet. You have a great night, Roselle.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Roselle Nunn, founder of the National Bikers Roundup. And as we say, his website is www.nationalbikersroundup.org.
And, you know, I had so many more questions I wanted to talk to him. 40 years, builds bike back in the 70s. He's a wealth of information that we could pick. But love getting people from that have been doing this for a long time. What a passion. 40 years.
And once again, to me, the most important part is the fact that motorcycles brought people together.
That's it.
So there's our music, and I'm Walt.
I'm Steve.
Remember, keep the chrome side up and the rubber side down. We'll see you out on the road.